So when I was told the Australia Day lunch is coming up in January, who would you like to invite? I said, well, how much does it cost? We don't need to do that. And I just decided to do something else. And that was the beginnings of the Mayor's Multicultural Forum thing that we're doing. It's cheaper and it benefits more people and does the same thing. At around the same time, there was discussion about the Australia Day citizenship ceremonies, and I was told, here's your list of potential speakers. And I said, what do you mean? What's this list? Oh, the Australia Day Council provide the list of speakers you can have at the event. And I said, well, why? We may not want one of those speakers. Oh, well, it's part of the deal. And so it was explained to me that as a council, we paid $1,500 or so a year to be members of the Australia Day Council, and the benefit we got for that was that they would provide a speaker for our Australia Day event, whether we wanted one or not. They were on offer. They had a set list of, you know, famous people, nice people, and we did actually select someone from the list, and she was, Pat Ricks was a fine speaker at the event. But I did make a point to Mr. Clark at the time when I was discussing it with him, saying, well, I don't see any need for us to be a member. I mean, Australia Day is going to happen or not. It's not too hard to find a speaker, a good speaker for Australia Day. So I don't think we should be paying that sort of membership. That was my view as mayor. So Mr. Clark took that away and I forgot about it. But of course, eventually, an invoice came in from the Australia Day Council. And it was brought to my attention again, and I said, well, look, it's not my decision, but I don't think it should be staff's decision either. It should go to council. So that's what... And when... I should just add that Mr. Clark can add to this... well, he could if he was here. But he did tell me that when it was suggested to the Australia Day Council that... Marion Council may not be renewing its subscription, even though every other council does pay this $1,500 in addition to the corporate and other levels of government sponsorship that they get. We were told, well, you won't be able to have people from the City of Marion nominated for Australia Day Awards. So there. So that's the ultimatum that's put to us. You'll find that put much more elegantly in the report. So cough up or your people will be scratched from consideration is basically the proposition. Over to you.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that we do pay our subscription, that we actually do continue to be involved. I hear what you're saying. And I do actually find it concerning that they would actually try and intimidate us by saying that none of our people can be nominated. I think that's inappropriate, and I think maybe we should convey that back to them, along with our check. Look, I think there's some things that we almost duty-bound to take part in. Australia Day is... Big Day, it's something that I've participated in every year now for the last 6-7 years as a marshal with the Australia Day Parade in the city. I think it's a day for us to actually feel as blessed as we should be in this country. And I think that this council should contribute to this to at least provide some resources for the Australia Day Council to do their business. I'm not comfortable with the standoff we're in. I'm not comfortable with what they've proposed to us. And I move the motion that we do contribute. And also that Council raises concern that if the proposition of us not contributing would deny our people a natural right on our national day to be recognised is abhorrent. That's what I would like to put back to them. That their reaction to us looking as if we might withdraw has not been received well. But they'll have our ongoing support.
I'd like to offer an amendment to that motion.
So I must see if it is seconded. Councillor Gard, did you wish to speak? Please do.
Yeah, I'm in parallel with Councillor Hull in the words he's spoken. I think probably it can be summarised in one sentence that the approach of the Council is very un-Australian, ironically.
Councillor Crossland, to move an amendment.
Yes, please. I'd like to move an amendment which I've emailed to staff. May I speak while we're changing, while we're putting the amendment on?
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, I think this is a great program. It rewards our volunteers and people involved in the community. I'm not even going to comment about whether or not we'd get awards if we were or weren't members. I'm bigger than that. It's a great program. My only concern is I don't really think that we need this to come up every year, so my alternative motion is that we pay the membership fee and we continue to pay the membership fee for the remaining term of this council, which I believe is or at least until January 2014, I think I put, subject to staff review, because I just thought maybe if they put it up considerably to 100,000, we wouldn't want it to be automatically paid. So if the amount continues to be similar amount and it's reasonable, then it can just be paid.
Order.
Just before I take the point of order, I'll just see if staff have any suggestion in relation to the wording in line with the intent that Councillor Crossland's expressed. Anything at all? Or perhaps while that's being considered, I'll take the point of order from Councillor Hull.
Well, apart from the commonality that Councillor Crossland herself wanted to continue to pay the money, Councillor Crossland is seeking to deny us the opportunity to raise concern about the behaviour of the Australia Council. Councillor Gard's right, it is un-Australian. And Councillor Crossland's motion is actually a direct opposite to a council raising concern about that action.
Sorry, Councillor Hull, I must admit I didn't really appreciate the second part of your motion. Is that expressed on the screen or not? Well, Councillor Hull, did you provide your writing in motion? Look, I don't see it as a direct contradiction. What you've got, Councillor Hull, is you're saying we're going to pay the current membership, we're going to express our concern, and order, I'm just clarifying something, and Councillor Crossland is saying let's pay the current membership fees and we'll keep paying until 2019, essentially. So, Councillor Crossland, can I clarify that paragraph 2 of Councillor Hull's motion, that's not in your motion. Did you mean to delete that or include it?
No, I don't think it's necessary. It's an aggressive stance. It's an interpretation of comments that are in the report, and I don't believe it's necessary to pursue that line any further.
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate amendment. So we'll vote. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, did you wish to speak to the amendment and or the motion?
Yeah, just briefly. Look, I think that the sum of money is small compared with what we want to be dealing with here, and we want to be focusing on perhaps some larger things, so I thoroughly support this not coming back to us for the rest of the term.
I'll question Councillor Hull. The membership is annual, I believe.
All over the timer on council, so.
No, the current is the current annual, that is the invoice that we actually have in the tray at the moment.
Well, we're going to go.
So I'll put the amendment. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So we're dealing with the motion as amended. Those who haven't spoken are invited to contribute if they want to. Councillor Valescu?
In that, you know, we'd be disappointed if we chose not to pay the membership and the worthy deeds of our community aren't included. But I guess it's they run the awards, rightly or wrongly. They charge a membership fee to be part of it. So we can't really get the award if we don't pay that. And I guess I don't know if anyone else has questioned their membership, so perhaps they may have got a little bit defensive. But I guess, you know, I'm glad that council's risen above that and just seen, look, you know, let's look at it for what it is. And it's an event to celebrate the rich tapestry, which is now our country. I guess it's quite timely with all the pictures of boats and people from other countries coming along, because that's what founded even the people that were here 60,000 years ago came across in some form or another. So I think that it's a positive event, and I'm glad that we'll be looking at it in a positive way in the way we interact with the council.
Yes, normally I'm not enthusiastic about elitist type of events, but and this is a little bit that way, has a bit of a taste to it, but it does seem to unite people. It does seem to be a nice reward for a lot of people, people's contribution to the community. So until we have a better organisation and event, I'm happy to support it. Thank you.
I don't think we should support paying the invoice. I don't think it offers good value. And I can't see how the City of Marion people could be precluded from the award in any event, because it is for South Australian of the Year, and you can't exclude certain parts of the state, otherwise it's just not going to be South Australian of the Year.
Other speakers? I'll call on Councillor Hull to reply if he needs to.
Well, Mr. Mayor, at the end of the day, Councillor Valesky has made a good point that we are actually going forward and making a contribution, and we should. I take Councillor Westwood's comments on board as well. However, you've got to have some system, and unfortunately, I think the Australia Day Council showed a little bit of arrogance. Talk about aggression. It wasn't my emotion that was aggressive. It was the Australia Day Council that was aggressive in terms of suggesting they deny our citizens a right to be recognised. And this flows on, Mr. Mayor, to being South Australian of the Year. That would deny them from being that. It would actually then deny them being Australian of the Year. So it really is un-Australian. You're absolutely correct, Councillor Gard. The notion of that was un-Australian, and I took offence to it. I am quite happy to stand by my motion to raise our concerns on the citizens of Marion's behalf, that the suggestion of it is an aberration. But anyway, I'm once again happy that there is going to be the small contribution that will actually enable us to make the appropriate contribution.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by majority. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Wait, wait, wait. On page 281 of the agenda, framework, key assumptions and timeframes for the preparation of the budget. Can I ask a question first, Mr. Mifsud? Why does this come to council, this particular report?
Through the chair, It needs to come to council because that enables members to provide your endorsement in terms of what the basis of the annual business plan and budget is for the next financial year, and also the provides the basis for the next iteration of the long-term financial plan. So that gives us your endorsement to proceed on that basis.
Okay, so procedurally, I'd ask staff, what should we do? Procedurally, we councillors devoted last Saturday to a planning day. This document was discussed and we came up with some suggested changes. What's the best way to deal with those changes?
Through the chair, the main change in terms of the resolution was bullet point number three here, or bullet point, the third bullet point, where from the discussion we agreed that that would be changed to 0 to 5%, which is actually up on the board now, and therefore should council support that, the discussions in terms of changes that we had on the weekend will be fully incorporated.
Well, the other one that I'd suggest, looking on page 284 under the heading of assumptions, the first dot point about service delivery levels, I thought that we were talking about a change to the words in brackets so that it would be any change to service levels be approved separately by council, rather than any new service improvements are prioritised and so on. The point being that council may approve to increase or lower service levels. We don't necessarily have a baseline of what we offer and just keep on adding more and more and more. I thought that's what members were discussing. So is that something that...
Through the chair, you're absolutely right, Mayor Hannah. So to provide that clarification, we can add in a fourth point, or put in a, probably best to put it through as number three, because we have those words in the copy that I've got here, so we can do that, and that will give members the clarity that you're seeking.
I'm just inviting probably questions or clarifications to begin with. Councillor Telfer? Yes, so I'll just take that up with Councillor Mifsud once that previous point is taken on board. Just R to be approved. You don't need the prioritised anymore. And then it just goes on as before. Okay, and now, Mr. Mifsud, could I draw your attention? Councillor Telfer was drawing your attention to the future rates increase issue. Again, on page 284 under assumptions, there's the second main dot point, and then the third dot point within that, which begins with rates. That should probably say increase of 2.5 or 2.75%, because we discussed variables there.
Through the chair, we would do that as a matter of course, but certainly very comfortable to include that in there. That's not a problem at all.
Well, it's just that if we're being asked, it looks like we're being asked to make a decision based on this list of assumptions. So we better have the variables that we've asked for.
Yeah, absolutely, and that will be forthcoming. So we'll include that as an additional
Thank
point
you.
Here as well.
Councillor Telfer. Councillor Telfer, the way I read that particular dot point, if you're looking at the second dot point under employee costs, is that it refers to what's currently in the EBA, so it's presented as a potential risk on that basis. Could I have Mr. Skoll to advise?
Through your worship, that's actually correct. That dot point actually refers to the existing agreement, but there is a note there that the agreement expires on 30 June 2016, but the Mayor is absolutely correct.
Any other points of clarification from members, particularly based on Saturday's discussions? I mean, of course, you can move any amendments you like. $285, yes, that's right. Is that something that could be taken on notice and we could still get the resolution through? I mean, there was a lot of material that came out of the planning day, which I must say was very successful. Staff are still writing that up. And, of course, once we've got all of that in writing, I'm sure it'll jog our memories as to further investigations to be carried on. Mr.
Thank you, through the Chair. To answer your question, yes, we'll get that information through to you very promptly in the coming days. In addition, as is the normal course of the budget development process, we will be having the Valuer General's people visiting us in March this year, which is actually a month ahead of where we've had it previously, and that information will be incorporated in that documentation once again. But in the interim, we will certainly provide you with that information, Councillor Telfer, with a copy to all members.
Thank you. All right, shall we get into the Councillor Crossland?
Just in addition to that, again, not necessary for this report, but information requested. On top of the information requested by Councillor Telfer, I believe we're going to get a breakdown of the value of homes in different brackets. By that I mean the ones that were under 500,000, a bit more of a breakdown, please.
Largely the same point. So.
Yep. Through the Chair, absolutely. We've already taken that on board and we'll be providing that to members as soon as we practically can.
Thank you. Well, let's proceed with a motion. Councillor, does anyone want to move a motion regarding this? What happens if we don't move a motion? You'll just take all of this on board anyway, won't you, Mr. Mifsud? And come back with a budget.
Through the Chair, it's actually critical that we get Council's endorsement that these are the assumptions and framework that you want us to develop the budget and long-term financial plan on.
Okay. Moved, Councillor Crossland. Seconded, Councillor Hull. Seconded with fear. Yes, that's still valid as seconding. Thank you. If there's no further discussion, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. We move to page 288, the SWARA Audit Committee appointment, or possibly reappointment. Councillor Crossland to move.
I'd like to move as printed. I'm on the SW, I can't say SARWRA board, and I would like to recommend that we do reappoint Mr. Connor.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor? Any speakers? I'll put that motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On page 290, I call it Swara, but it's Surawara, Swarara. The Charter Review. Now, this one is very interesting. Can I start off with a question? And it's in relation to the suggested change to the Charter, which prevents payment of dividends to the constituent councils. Yes, it's on. I was just trying to get a page. It's page 7 of the document at clause. Oh, is it? No, earlier. That's it, on page 5 of the document, 1.6.3. Now, can that be explained? Who would like to explain that from staff?
Mr. Mayor, if I...
Order.
It's a very good question, but could I just ask that it actually be answered in context with a lot of other changes in there? There must be something else going on apart from this.
I hear what you're saying, Councillor Hull. I think it was improper to interrupt, but perhaps I could have a briefing from management about the overall strategy behind the changes to the Charter and then address that specific issue. Mr. Mifsud?
Thank you, through the Chair. So you raise a good point. The discussion that was had at the board meeting, the SWARA board meeting that evening, that point was raised to ensure that the long-term potential liability of rehabilitation of the site was maintained, and there was concern that that if dividends were paid on an ongoing basis, that there, in an absolute worst-case scenario, and I emphasise absolute worst-case scenario, there may be a long-term liability whenever the site's life has expired to the constituent councils. So that decision was made to ensure that any potential liability for the constituent councils did not occur long-term.
Mr. Mifsud, that would make sense if it was about the rule change that prevents councils from withdrawing from the authority. That is obviously a move designed to stop councils pulling out before the very end of the time of the dump, when there might be massive rehabilitation costs to be paid by those who are still around at the time. And it makes clear that it's an ongoing liability, even if a council does pull out. But with the dividends, I mean, there's actually, it looks like Michael Kelly's note there to suggest that it's to do with the not-for-profit status of the authority. I mean, does that, you know, do you have any more to say about it?
Through the Chair, that comment is actually provided by our executive officer.
Oh.
And yes, it's true that there was support provided to the board from Kelly Jones, legal advisers, but those notes that you see throughout the document are actually written by our executive officer, representing the discussions that were held on the night by the board and by the board members only.
So I don't know. I'm just picking up that his answer is different to the answer we've just heard. That's what disturbs me. But Councillor Hull raised the question also that we're after a general account of why was this exercise embarked upon. Why was there a review of the Charter? Mr. Mifsud.
Through the Chair, we're bound under the Charter to do a review every 3 years.
Right.
So we had to do that. And okay. It hadn't been undertaken for quite some time.
Okay. Councillor Hull, you've got a question?
Mr. Mayor, I don't accept that answer. I read in this more than what we're just told. Because I want to read it in. Because I'm hoping that this organisation will take us to a better place with the disposal of our waste and other things. And this is the point that I'm making. Bottom of page 7, under the national competition policy, where the authority is engaged in any activity which is a significant business activity, it will, in relation to that business activity, undertake a risk and benefit analysis, if necessary, implement principles and competition neutrality to the extent of the benefits to be realised from the implementation of the principles of competitive neutrality outweigh the cost associated with implementation. Now, I'd like to know from Councillor Crosland through the Chair that is this whole change the change that we've been hoping for in terms of this organisation reshaping itself and reinventing itself to accommodate not only waste disposal but energy generation as well, because they've been doing it for a while with the gas coming off, cogeneration's happening down there already. But is this posturing, is this a change of their structure to allow those sort of things to happen? Because that's what I'm reading. There's something more behind this than just, oh, we're going through the motions again. Well, I think there's more to it.
Because Councillor Crosland and Mr Mifsud are Marion Council's appointments to the board, I'll ask, as you suggest, Councillor Hull, Councillor Crosland to respond, and then I'll also ask for Mr Mifsud's response.
Thank you. It is correct that at a previous board meeting I put forward a motion that we would consider and look at business opportunities such as a solar farm. I am aware as well that the staff have also been renegotiating their gas contract, as was notified to council. But I really think that Mr. Misford would be better placed to maybe explain those details rather than myself.
Through the Chair, Councillor Crossland's quite right. The board did take on board the initiative raised by Councillor Crossland, and that is going to be certainly pursued and explored further in terms of a potential option that the SWARA may take on board.
Go along, because on page 291 we've got background and discussion, and there's a little review of the clauses where there are changes. Paragraph 3 talks about national competition policy, and on the face of it that's quite innocuous, that if you're going to engage in significant business activities there'll be a risk benefit analysis. I mean, that seems common sense, but it's actually quite a revolutionary change, because 1.9 currently says the authority does not undertake any commercial activities which constitute a significant business activity of the authority. Does it? I mean, that's what it looks like. It's a bit hard to tell from the striking out. Is that the case, Mr. Mifsud?
Through the Chair, as Councillor Crossland just touched on, that the authority already has an arrangement in place, a contractual arrangement in place for gas extraction. That's recently been renegotiated to quite a favourable extent to the authority, which obviously directly benefits the three constituent councils. So we already have a commercial arrangement in place in regards to gas extraction, and the board is certainly keen to explore any other opportunities that may be available to the authority that will benefit the three constituent councils.
Okay, so it seems to me, in summary, the big change here is that instead of paying money back to councils, they're going to develop massive war chest based on the profits they make so that they can engage in significant business activities. That's what it looks like. But are you telling me that's wrong?
Yeah. Through the Chair, just to provide that clarification, the number one responsibility of the authority is to ensure that when the waste site life expires, that the constituent councils do not have any financial liability. That is the number one responsibility of the authority, and that's how it was established from day one. So there isn't a massive war chest, but there is certainly funding being put aside prudently to ensure that the rehabilitation of the site, which is required legally, is appropriately covered in the long term.
Okay. Councillor Hutchinson.
I've got a question, Your Worship.
Please do.
The question is in relation to the non-payment of dividends and how that may relate or may not relate to our future projected expenses to SWARA. What is the projected revenue for SWARA over the next period of time? Are we able to discuss that? And is that looking like to be on the same trajectory it's been on, or is it being reduced in terms of what constituent councils are paying?
Through the Chair, just very recently, in fact, no longer than about 12 months ago, the fees paid by the constituent councils were reduced by the Board.
Sorry, that doesn't answer my question. What's the projected for the future? Is it?
The forward projections, whilst I don't have the specific details on me, are based off that lower fee. So there's obviously going to be EPA fees that have to be paid, and that's something we can't control. That's controllable by the state government. But in regards to the fees charged to the constituent councils, should they be increased, they'll be increased off that lower rate, which was reduced just recently.
Yeah, thank you. I was just trying to determine whether there's a link between non-payment of dividends and reduced expenses to constituents. But
Well, maybe the better question is, what's the net impact on the City of Marion's budget by SWARA's decision not to pay dividends, Mr. Mipson?
Through the council, we typically haven't in recent times budgeted for the dividend. Because it's relatively immaterial. It was in the order of $70,000, so we haven't budgeted for it in recent years, so the impact is not significant. In fact, it's... if I can please clarify on that, and the reason being is that the provision of a dividend is subject to a Board decision which we can't preempt. So we've erred on the side of caution and not budgeted for a dividend. Whilst they have been forthcoming in most years, that hasn't always been the case, and you can't forecast something that's not guaranteed.
Did you see a figure of $315,000 somewhere? Councillor Appleby?
Can we defer this motion until we get some clearer answers?
You're moving to defer to the next meeting?
Well, I'm asking first, just in case there's any pressing deadline. I couldn't see anything in the report.
Deadlines, Mr. Mifsud?
Yeah, this needs to be endorsed by the Board at the next Board meeting and then subsequently brought back to Council. Now, that said, all three constituent councils must unanimously agree. So if, for example, the City of Marion would like to put forward some further suggested amendments, we can do that, and they would need to be endorsed unanimously by the other two constituent councils before the process can continue.
So worst case scenario is that it might go not to the... it might be delayed for a month or something.
Yeah, the SWARA Board meetings typically occur every 2 months, so that's correct.
A question, Councillor Hull?
Executive members of that group, they haven't actually addressed this new council yet, have they, in the last 12 months?
No, I'm sure I haven't seen them.
Right. The other thing is, too, that it would be beneficial for us to actually go down there. It's quite an enlightening trip to go down there and see the operation. So I think, as an aside to any of this being considered, I think it would be beneficial for us to actually reacquaint ourselves with a fairly significant part of council operations, even though we've got 30% in the stakeholder as a stakeholder. But look, Mr. Mayor, I think you and I know that there's a significant shift in this organisation. I would like to welcome it. I actually like to think this is a good news story. But why I'm sorry, Mr. Mifsud, when I asked you before, you just said it's just the routine review. Well, I think it is more than that, and I think we need to know about it. I think we should be welcoming of it. I think we should be tagging on.
Interrupt you there, because really we're still in question time, but would members like to see the Chief Executive of the Authority come and address Council? Mr. Mifsud?
Through the Chair, I can Council would be would have no difficulties. The Chair of the Board, together with the Executive Officer, have are very, very keen to come and visit Council and the other Councils, so that would not be a problem at all. And just to clarify, I didn't say it was just a matter of business. We have to, every 4 years, review the Charter. And yes, we can certainly say that there's some sort of shift, but we haven't done it just for the buzz of it.
Well, I must say it leaves me with a sense of no clarity, because on the one, the question was, what's the strategy? Why was it being engaged in? And the answer was, well, we have to do it every 3 years. But what we're not getting is the thinking behind it. Clearly some major changes have been made. Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, from my opinion, obviously I've only been on this board for a year, but the executive officer we've got down there, Mr. Hindmarsh, is very dynamic. He's looking for business opportunities. In conversations with him, he felt the Charter was restrictive in that it prevented him from looking at for any other business alternatives or activities. I can't say for sure that that's the reason why it's been changed, so that's why I'm not prepared to say that. But this change allows for all the activities we've been discussing over the last 6 to 12 months in Council. And if I could just clarify another point with Mr. Misford, although the dividend we get from the facility is fairly small, the major benefit we get as a Council involved in this company is that our gate fees are significantly reduced. So the amount we are paying to get rid of our waste is a huge amount, a lot less than we would pay if we weren't involved. Can I just confirm that?
The gate fees that the constituent councils pay is definitely lower than the market pays, that's correct.
Okay, I'm looking for a motion from someone. Councillor Crossland.
Can we move it as is and also put in there that the Chief Executive and the Executive Officer are invited to present to Council in the next 6 months as an addition, or does that need to be worded differently?
Well, that can be done administratively, really.
Yeah, okay.
If there's an interest, we'll do that.
I'll put it as I am comfortable with the changes. I was there at the meeting when they were discussed. There was nothing that I personally was worried about, and in fact there's obviously a large number of people involved in those meetings that were executive officers within the constituent councils, as well as other elected members, and I would like to recommend it as is, but I do think, as Councillor Hull has mentioned, that a presentation down the track would be beneficial to Council as a whole.
Is that seconded, Councillor Hull?
The only thing I'd like to add is that with the summer months here with us at the moment, the time is right to actually go down and have a look. In the next few months, that would be quite good.
We'll talk about a suitable time to do that. That can be done administratively or in a forum. Very well. Any further discussion? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried by majority. Moving down to page 325 of the agenda, legal expenditure. Well, I note that additional information about the grouping of different legal fees that have been paid this year has been provided in the last 24 hours to members. Again, before we start, I'd just got a question. Top of page 328, hourly rates not provided as it's commercial information. So my question is, why wouldn't that be provided to members on a confidential basis?
Through the chair, we didn't include it within the report because we wanted the report to be public, but that information can be provided to members on a confidential basis. Just noting that obviously it is the firm's commercial information and it shouldn't be distributed beyond the elected body.
Oh, yeah, I don't think any of us have any issue that it would be commercially sensitive and should be confidential. But it is possible, isn't it, to have, say, a confidential schedule to a report, but have the rest of the report in the open. Is that right, Ms. McKenzie?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions before we begin, Councillor Hull? Just questions?
In the information provided to us about where this legal advice has been attributed, would it be fair to say that our building programs have been one significant consequence of needing legal advice? And Marion Leisure and Fitness, would it be fair to say that that's been another hot spot for legal advice?
Who would like to answer that? Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, did incur additional legal costs to work that through.
Would it be fair to say that this is actually more than compensated by the fact that I haven't been investigated for the last 12 months? Not yet.
I'd like to move that we defer the item until we're provided with that information about the hourly rates and retainers.
Should be fine. So, motion to defer to the next meeting. Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried in against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Now we come to the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review. Now, I'm very mindful of Councillor Vlescu's comments earlier in the meeting. There are options for both the discussion and the minutes to be confidential. Obviously, the report's already out there, but we also have to bear in mind that we're, in a way, setting a precedent for coming years. And possibly the worst situation would be that you start with something in the open and then it suddenly goes into darkness and everyone assumes the worst. So does anyone wish to move that we have the discussion confidence? Moved, Councillor Vlescu?
Confidence and whatever the CEO is comfortable in us releasing beyond what we'd release normally is what would be appropriate.
Kerry, seconded. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. So again, I'd ask, and I'm assuming that it means that management up at the front of the meeting can stay, but I'd once again ask the people in the gallery, well, it could be just Adrian, couldn't it? Well, that's a point, actually. Councillor Vlescu, you're moving the motion. The confidentiality obviously includes elected members staying in the room, and
we would have some governance support, and I think that's normally it. So it would have been Ms. Jarrett and
elected members, Mr. Skull, and one governance officer, Mr. Skull. Who would that be?
Jamie.
All right, Jamie Thwaites. So if we could ask other managers to leave, please. Oh, that was carried by majority.